time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, July 1st, 2019. Happy Independence Week. I'm so excited about having 4th of July here in the middle of this week. It seems like we got some catch-up work. You know, when you own your own business and you get an extra day, what do? You cook some barbecue and you get to do some fun things like that. Andy Schell got a new grill. We'll hear about that in his Hot Topic segment. We get to do those kind of fun things. However, for some of us who own the business, it also means getting back in and getting caught up in some things. And hope you're finding someone to just tell a soldier how much we appreciate them. Tell someone who's serving our country, whether in police, fire, wherever, how grateful we are for this great nation and the freedoms we enjoy. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're grateful to have you as our listener. And we've got a lot of listeners out there. I want to give a shout out to Josh O'Leary, who's an MLO for a mortgage loan officer at Fairway Mortgage in Olympia, Washington. He contacted me, tells me how much he enjoys it. Jonathan Hanna, I talked to him about Simmons Bank. He's a mortgage loan originator in the Arkansas area, does a great job. He's in Arkansas, Fort Smith, if I recall correctly. And then Kyle Morsey, I met him in the lobby of Movement Mortgage here a few weeks ago. What a great guy. I love all these people that contact us and tell us how much they enjoy the podcast. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anywhere and anytime. You know, the faster you go, it doesn't mean you can get the words out successfully. But anyway, we're proud to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. Check out industrysyndicate.com. Check out all the podcasts that are there and available to you. This week, we have got a dear friend and someone who's very special to me and to Andy and to many of the mortgage industry. Look up to this individual as our major leader. Ex-NFL football player Casey Crawford will be joining us. He's the CEO of Movement Mortgage and Movement Bank. He's the chairman of Movement Bank. What an amazing story. I had a chance to sit down with Casey in his office a few weeks ago, just before the Housing Wire conference started, and I was just blown away, especially when you hear the whole story. We'll talk about it there, but I mean, the size of that operation, what has grown from zero 11 years ago to being the eighth largest lender in the nation on their way to taking over some of the others, and they're going to be up. I'm sure they're going to be in the top five here very, very soon. Anyway, I've asked Casey to come on. A lot of people listen to his story and watch the video that he's done for us to give us a video testimony, and it is inspirational. But a lot of people hear that success, and they go, yeah, but what did he have to overcome? What were the challenges, the many challenges? We're going to be talking about that in the Hot Topic segment, and I'm really looking forward to that. Talking about Casey's journey from zero to the eighth largest lender in the nation. Also, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Black Knight. In today's competitive world, critical for lenders to deliver decision-quality business intelligence to the right employees at the right time. And to answer this demand, Black Knight has developed an actionable intelligence platform to deliver data that drives growth and reduce costs. Learn more about the solution by going to blackknightinc.com. Also, Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgages, a home to some of the top LOs. Some great videos. Check out openmortgage.com. Scott and team have some great videos up there about how to do many aspects of that. And we're going to hear from Scott in a little bit on the science of sales. Also, Finastra with their Fusion Mortgage Bot solution. Very grateful to have them back as a sponsor. And our newest sponsor, ResNet Warehouse Lending Division, division of United Bank. They do a great job of providing warehouse lending. If you're looking for a warehouse lender, it's all about the relationship. And Ken Jones and the team at United Bank, ResX, do an outstanding job. I tell you, when I own my mortgage banking companies, when I was an owner partner in them, the best advice that I ever got was from my warehouse lenders. They're true partners, and check them out at ResX Warehouse Lending. We have a link on our website. Also, glad to be a part of the Lenders One Co-op, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Both create competitive advantages for their lenders and vendor members. Of course, we always say a big thank you to Velma, KnowledgeCoop, and Vidyard, all of which provide so much great information. And I should have said at the top up here, we don't have that in the notes yet, got to get that in here, CMLA, the Community Lender Mortgage Lenders Association. Be proud to have them as a new partner, and we're members of that organization, association as well. Let's get over to Rob Van Raphorst and hear what he has for us this week on the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, President Trump signed an executive order to establish the White House Council on Eliminating Barriers to Affordable Housing Development. This council will be led by HUD Secretary Ben Carson. It is designed to review current federal regulations regarding affordable housing programs, identify regulatory processes that can be streamlined at the federal, state, and local levels, and to determine the true cost of the regulatory burdens associated with these programs. MBA's President and CEO Bob Brooksmith commended this move, and MBA will continue to engage with the administration on affordable housing issues. Also last week, the House of Representatives passed a minibus bill that would provide HUD with just over $50 billion for the upcoming fiscal year. This bill provides $300 million for HUD's Cybersecurity and IT Fund and designates $20 million for FHA's single-family IT infrastructure. This dedicated FHA IT funding has been a major MBA priority. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Good job. Appreciate our partnership with the MBA and all the stuff. Check out MAA, Mortgage Action Alliance. Be sure you get yourself registered for them. And you do not have to be a member of the MBA to have your voice heard. It's a great piece of technology and a way of getting your voice heard. MAA, MAA.com. Also, go to Mortgage Action Alliance. Probably the best way to do it. Les Parker is here with his macro view of the markets and with TM Spotlight. Now, again, Les has a free available for you to read of your review of the markets. And I read something I read every single day and encourage you to do so. But here's a sample of it with Les Parker. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Talking about stock bubbles, it's a sinking in. Trade adjusting tensions. Let the spinning wheel spin. For the last 10 days of June, mortgage rates have barely moved. The bull trend remains intact, but corrective forces live. Changes in expectations drive the market. Promises and talk from the market influencers like central bankers and trade negotiators shift expectations. But actual action and real numbers shift the base, which can flip trends. Catch anticipation on the spinning wheel ride. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah, I love that song, too. Brings back some wonderful memories. Alice, remember that song? Ah, I love it. Andy Schell playing drums. We could make a band here. Well, check out tmspotlight.com and subscribe to Les's daily newsletter. It's free, everybody. Joe Farr, good to have you here with us with a weekly market update. What's going on? I haven't had a chance to even look at it today. What's happening?
Well, yeah, I wish I had the answer for this, but just recently, in the last few minutes or so, we've seen a little move lower in MBS prices. Don't know what it was. Maybe one of those things that Les was talking about where it's just the trade negotiators or the Fed speakers, you know, somebody. It wasn't economic data, but we're down. Mortgage-backed security prices are down about 6:30 on the day. Close to 20 basis points. So we expected the market to open better for stocks because of the perceived progress in the trade discussions with China over the weekend, and they did, but the stocks have since given back their game some. Mortgage-backed security prices sort of opened it without much regard for the weekend's news. But here we are. We stand it down a bit on mortgage-backed security prices and still up less than 100 points, but still up fairly nicely on the Dow. The economic data that came out today was mixed. Construction spending missed to the downside, and ISM manufacturing was a little better than expected. So those events didn't have an effect on mortgage-backed security prices. Looking at last week, Dave, it was a volatile week, but really resulted in just a little net movement in mortgage rates for the week. Mortgage-backed security yield fell a basis point or two. Stocks were pretty steady during the week, but they fell a little bit overall, or a net loss of about 100 points last week. The most anticipated event going into last week was going to be the G20 summit. It wasn't going to come until late in the week, obviously. And today we're seeing the results of that because most of the information came out late Friday and early during the weekend. The economic data that came out during the week was generally weaker than expected. Consumer confidence fell much more than expected, while consumer sentiment rose a little bit. New home sales were pretty far below expectations, while pending home sales were slightly better. So all that kind of offset each other. The third quarter GDP matched expectations. What a big deal. 3.1%, though, is pretty, it's not third quarter, yeah. It's the third estimate of first quarter. Sorry for that. And then inflation, core PCE, was unchanged at 1.6% on an annual month-over-month basis. Yeah, the movers of the market were the Fed speakers. You know, with yes. The Fed meeting just the week before, I was kind of surprised to see them making a big splash, but they did. Chairman Powell and one of the other Fed members came out and cautioned the market a bit. The message to the market was that the market's expecting too rapid of rate declines, rate reductions. The market seemed to have priced in or expecting a 50-basis-point cut in July, they were saying basically don't count on it. In fact, the CME group measures expectations, and last week before the Fed speakers, there was a 50-50 expectation for 50 basis point. Everyone expected at least a quarter, but 50% expected 50 basis point cut.
Right.
That has dropped to 75-25% now. So Fed speakers did do a good job of moving expectations. Now, looking at this week, the economic data not really likely to drive the market until Friday. Before then, who knows what it would be. Trade with China, tension with Iran. Yeah, they could move things. But on Friday, the jobs report will come out at 8:30 Eastern time. Net new jobs of 165,000 are expected. This is up from the 75 that we saw in May. In fact, we may see that 75 revised a little higher. No change is expected in the unemployment rate. It should stay at 3.6%. There is a little increase in our average hourly earnings. It's expected to have risen to an annualized rate of 3.2% from 3.1% in May. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but given that it could be the start of a trend, higher would be significant if that trend does continue. And then, Dave, as you might guess, markets are going to close early on Wednesday, and they're going to be closed all day on Thursday for Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's my report.
Good job. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think if that change of 3.2 from 3.1 isn't going to be moving. However, it could have an impact if we see that trend continue. So good stuff. Good report. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Good. We'll take a quick break. Let's run over to Scott Gordon for our Science of Sales segment.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of science. Are you likable? If you're like me, you're thinking, yes, of course I am. And if I'm not, what does it matter as long as I do a good job? Failing to understand the importance of likability is a mistake many professionals make. Studies show that being likable is far more important than competence, both in the office and outside of it. We like people that are similar to us. We like people that compliment us. And we like people that cooperate with us. When creating new relationships, engage in meaningful small talk and mine for personal information. Ask potential customers about their families in ways that relate to their purchase or mortgage needs. When meeting a realtor, do a quick Google search. Plan some questions you can ask casually. Find one or two specific traits or details to compliment. But remember, compliments must be TSP, true, specific, and positive. To get customers or realtors to open up for small talk, appear to be similar to them. Try mirroring. If you hear a phrase or see a mannerism, try adopting it during the course of your conversation. This will help build rapport and allow for a relaxed conversation. Sound too good to be true? It's not. It's just the science of sales.
Good job, Scott. I like that. TSP. I like that. New acronym we got to work. Check out openmortgage.com for a lot more of these videos. Go to our website for all the science of sales. Good stuff, Scott. Appreciate it. So, Alice, I've got a question for you. If that is true, what he's saying, we hang around people we like, why is it that if we get married, opposites attract? I've always been trying to figure that one out. But I got to be at your wedding anniversary with you and your special guy, Andy. I love your husband. Such an amazing individual. And but I was listening to that. Was the first question that came across my mind as I was listening to that last segment. So we have Alice Alvey, CMB, VS Vice President of Education and Training of Union Home Mortgage with us. Alice, Sorry about that. I spoke right over you. How rude of me. Had to get that all in.
No, that was fine. Yeah, because I would say my husband and I are opposites in many ways, but I'm not trying to sell him something. So maybe that's the difference. So anyway.
Yeah, that's true. You sold him when he said, wow, hello.
I already sold him
44 years.
All right. Three bills. We need to make sure, you know, when a bill gets past committee and hits the table, that's when this group, everybody listening, needs to reach out to your congressman and start paying attention to things. Because, people complain when stuff gets passed, and I go, well, did you do anything about it while it was being talked about? And, well, no. So here's three things. FHA Affordability Act, House Bill 3141. This is a good bill because it would have FHA push back to refunding MIP premiums in the way they used to in the past, right? So for today, right, our FHA 30-year MIP amount in the monthly payment is there for the life of the loan. This is a bill that would say, hey, that's crazy. When they hit a 78 LTV, let's have an automatic drop point back in place again for the good of borrowers. So that's one piece. I think that's a good one everybody in the industry would like. The other one is Home Ownership for Dreamers Act, H.R. 3154. Also, reporting coming out of committee. So again, you know, moving up to like more of that 20% range of having a possibility of getting through. So this one would stop FHA from having to treat DACA borrowers with deferred action for childhood arrival visa status C33. It would let HUD essentially allow those borrowers on FHA loans. This is something I also think is good for the industry. It's a group that's been here for a while in this country, and is now a lot of them reaching of age where they're into home ownership, and it would be great to have them enter that home ownership world. So that's H.R. 3154. And last but not least, Senate Bill 1749. So those of you and all of us who are dealing with the Ginny Mae 210-day seasoning rule, this is a dicey one because there's all different scenarios just based on when the borrower made their payment for the start date, right? For the first time they made the payment. Well, you got to watch the last one too. But in any case, it's causing some headache. And this bill would change that wording, simple wording change, to just say, let's just make it the first payment due date. Stop messing with when the actual made date was, which is throwing things off and making it difficult for veteran borrowers in the documentation side. So, and really would still retain the theme of the regulation. So three bills that have moved a little further down the track that I think folks should look at getting behind. And that's my report for today, Dave.
Sounds good, Alice. Good job. Appreciate it. Be sure to say hi to Andy for me, by the way. What a great, great guy. Appreciate it so much. We'd run out. He is a good man. 44 years. Nancy and I are celebrating our 35th this year, so that's pretty cool. Got to try to catch up with you. But anyway, calendar will just not let that happen.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Cube. Have you ever considered the techniques of the greatest educators and storytellers in the world, like Shakespeare? Consider Romeo and Juliet. Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. In that first sentence, we know everything that's going to happen. The rest of the play is all filling in the blanks. How can you use these proven techniques to help educate your team? Don't leave your message hidden, but make it really clear from the very beginning. Check out Knowledge Cube for fun and easy training for mortgage professionals based all on fun video, easy to watch, and powered by a smart digital platform.
Go check out KnowledgeCoop.com and learn about this system that's creative. It's powered by the smart digital platform. They do a great job delivering content to you and your team in a manner that is as entertaining, as effective, as and the way they go about the solution. Very, very, very powerful technology. KnowledgeCoop.com. Check them out. Alan Pollack, good to have you here with us this week. I'm sorry we're pushing things along a little bit. If you're feeling a little rushed, Alan, it's only because we're trying to get through the first half of this podcast. So we have a full half hour with Casey Crawford a little bit later on. So what you got for us, man?
Oh, not much. Good to be back. And thanks for the great introduction, as always. So a couple quick things today. Navy Federal just launched their digital mortgage platform. They did it with Blend. They're calling it Home Squad. And they're saying they want to make their Home Squad team the center of your home financing journey. And of course, it focuses on the things we say that we always forget, the simple things that borrowers still want. which is a checklist, track their status, receive notifications, link to key financial accounts, right? This all sounds familiar, and upload tax returns, right, pay stubs, and other key documents. So still keeping it simple, but it's about experience, and we'll continue to hear more about these. So good job with for Blend for putting that together. Then I found this really interesting article. I'm not going to get into it today. I think we need to dive deeper, but I just want to mention it. And if you've already read it, raise your hand. It is Lending Algorithms Discriminate, and Congress is Seeking Answers. Mm. It was in American Banker. This past week, lawmakers were taking, they're taking a closer look at whether algorithms used by banks and fintechs to make lending decisions could make discrimination worse instead of better. And one of the questions that a congressman had raised was, how can we be sure that artificial intelligence and underwriting models are not biased? So check that out. I'll take a deeper dive as well. We'll talk maybe about that next week. Then I also wanted to mention that HSBC also launched their digital mortgage solution with Roostify. It's funny, David, I was talking to somebody last week, maybe it was you, I don't remember. Somebody mentioned that there's X percentage, like a year ago, of lenders and lending institutions that now have some type of updated or new customer experience. There's a percentage of them that are sort of wishy-washy. They're not sure what they want to do. And then there's a percentage that just haven't done anything. But the percentage that haven't done anything is shrinking. It's getting smaller and smaller. So I'll also try and maybe you have some info. Let's chat. I'd love to share some of that with our listeners to figure that piece out. Spirit of Casey being here today, I wanted to talk about culture of technology. You know, that's Casey has done just an amazing job at building a culture really around every aspect of his business. I wouldn't say just technology, but that's my favorite part about it. So I did some research and I found, you know, there is a there's a website out there. It's called Digital Adoption, and they reference a lot, like McKinsey and many others, American Bankers reference. They do a really good job of bringing some articles together. And so I wanted to just talk about this one for just a couple quick minutes. What it is, you know, when you come to digital transformation, culture should come first. And unfortunately, so many organizations today, they put culture last, right? They just say, hey, we got to be here. We have to do this. Make it happen. Tell me when it's done, or tell me when we have a problem. And, you know, a lot of people will confuse digital transformation with technology adaption, but transformation is really much wider in scope. And so there's a couple of major points. And when you think of the product management aspect of putting technology in market, these are really important. It's technology, it's business process, it's revenue model. Yes, even if you're a lender, what is the revenue and the cost-based model? And Andy, I know your ears are ringing right now. Strategic priorities, compliance, and culture. And so when you take a look at all those different components, how do you really focus transformation in those different areas? It's not just about implementing a new technology solution. And so you think about, you know, what wins? How do we overcome this challenge? As an organization, you know, how do we actively invest in this innovation? And there's a couple points. I only took out two of them that I wanted to talk about. The first one is we need to be human focused. We need to think about, you know, we are discussing a digital transformation. There's going to be a new culture, a new technology, but humans still run things, right? And so what we can do is we can sort of move our efforts. We can focus on customer experience. We can look to make better products and better services. We can build that excellent internal employee experience from the onboarding of new customers and look at our assets of loans and then all the way into the training and even the physical work environment. And then use data and feedback and analytics to make good decisioning power. And then on top of that, it's becoming data-centric, being able to use data to make decisions and being able to sort of share that data, help leadership be engaged with the data and use that data to champion decisions and to champion what this article calls a data revolution. So I can provide the link. Fantastic article. It's very long. It's all about how to transform. And looking forward to hearing all about Movement Mortgage today.
I am too. I'm looking forward to it. Appreciate that much. Let's get over to the Profit Doctor. Always good to have the Andy Schell here with us.
What you
hey, Dave, so you got a new barbecue, huh? So you're cooking up something, huh?
Yeah, I am. Cooking steaks for the 4th with the family. I'm going to circle back to that if I have time, since I have 4 minutes and 20 seconds left.
Good job
on Alan to keep it to exactly 5 minutes. I was impressed.
Yeah. All right.
Looking forward to hearing Casey at the bottom of the hour in 4 minutes. It was my pleasure, along with you, Dave, to support him during his early years, the trials, the tribulations of starting a business. So we're so grateful to see the blessing that he's received in his business growth. So that's really awesome. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about servicing. Circling back, been talking about money and finance. Now I'm going to talk about servicing. So we have servicing webinars coming up in 2 weeks through the MBA. So be sure and sign up for that. And we're going to talk about when to hold them and when to fold them, because you got to know which loans do you keep, which loans do you don't. We're going to cover servicing functions and subservicing, because most people have a subservicer. We're also going to dive into the intangible benefits of servicing. That's a really big deal. There's a lot of intangibles, and we got to try to put an ROI on it. If you look at the ROI values of servicing from the different valuation companies, I mean, it bounces all over the place. It can be 20% 1 week and 100% the next week and negative the next week. So the servicing IRR is an important measure, but it's very susceptible to change. So we need to talk about that. The key thing I wanted to mention today, though, is the MSR preservation tactics. This is a really, really hot topic. MSR, that's
tactics,
the mortgage servicing rights.
Yeah.
Preservation. How are we going to keep it? How are we going to keep our servicing portfolio from running off? So what we do is we sign up to receive notices when any of our borrowers receive a mortgage credit pull. And we call the borrowers and say, hey, understand you're looking at a mortgage, let us help you. The other thing servicers are doing is when they get a payoff request, they have these call centers and they call the borrower and say, hey, understand you're looking at refinancing. We can get you a better rate and a lower payment than you're talking about with your other option, guaranteed. And you know how they can guarantee that? They're doing a call center, no commission paid. And they're going to preserve the MSR because they're about to write off 1%. So as long as they have a cost that's less than that, they're better off to do whatever they got to do to save that MSR. So that's happening. That's frustrating to originators who are with shops who don't hold servicing, because they can be in the midst of a refi, getting ready to close, and the borrower runs off, just quits. It's also really difficult for the non-servicing holders to hedge the pipeline when you get this kind of fallout risk at the last stage. Normally, you assume clear to close is 98% pull-through, and with refi, maybe not given this stuff. So we're going to talk about that more and more during our webinar. So that's servicing. Now, back to the grill in 52 seconds. It's an awesome grill. You know, Dave, in my backyard, I got that built-in, got the fire pit and that built-in stand and got a new grill. It's a pretty high-end grill, but it's got perfect heating surface, and it's not the old style of a grill. It's actually a stainless steel grill, and it's got ceramic tubes to distribute the heat. So the heat is distributed perfectly across the cooking surface, so you get perfect heat distribution throughout the grill, which was the thing I hated most about my old grill, was inconsistent heating. So James and Aaron, my grandson Finn, are coming over for the 4th, and we're going to marinate steaks and cook steaks and just have a good time.
Oh, that's so much fun. That'll be, I tell you, it's one of those things where you get a good grill. I bought this one, and it's got an infrared component, so I can't wait. We'll have to compare notes, try to wheel it side by side and see which one cooks the best. So anyway, appreciate it so much, Andy, and it was fun working with you on the Casey Crawford project. It was just, it was one of those unusual moments where you get to come in, and little did we know that where it would go. So we're excited to be bringing you that segment here in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break for an ad with Finastra.
There was a study done just a couple of years ago by Carlisle Gallagher that said 79% of bank customers go somewhere else for their mortgage. And it revolved around having the technology.
It doesn't have to be this elegant, crowded screen. Sometimes the quicker the buttons you can just click on there to get to it.
But I think the key thing that we're finding is it's that overall experience. And you look at the millennials, and they're a very educated group of people. We also look at the millennials. We all think of them as these young kids running around with iPads. They're not. They're 28 to 42-year-olds now. These are people working in your branches.
And once you have it on mobile, Eric, you know how you can track that.
Absolutely. We look at it every day. We went ahead and implemented the MortgageBot mobile at Bank Midwest, started from nothing, and right now we're taking about 40% of our mortgage apps via the mobile.
And, you know, when you look at MortgageBot, just talk about experience. So this has been around for about 20 years. We've got close to 1,500 customers using it. And I know there's some other vendors out there, but they've got about 50, maybe 100 customers. The technology here is phenomenal.
Yep, check out Finastra. It's a great tool. I had a chance to speak at the ICBA, the Independent Community Bankers Association, with Eric and Dan. Caught up then. We recorded that. Good job, Paul. Well, let's get into the hot topic segment. For those of you that know, we cut this program in two when we reproduce it and push it out. So we are starting the Hot Topic Live, and our special guest today is none other than Casey Crawford, the founder and CEO of Muba Mortgage.
You've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex, Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. So good to have them as our newest sponsor. The MBA, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative, the two co-ops in our advertising group, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, and Vidyard.